You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I am in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island for the 2023 Mackinac Policy Conference. Our chance to get political and business and philanthropic leaders away from Detroit and other cities together on the island to talk about all of our successes and our failures and our challenges here as a state. Philanthropy plays a huge part in the Mackinac Policy Conference, but it also plays a very big part in our city of Detroit. I am really pleased to welcome one of the philanthropic leaders in Detroit to the program. Malaika Clark is the CEO of the Hudson Weber Foundation. Malaika, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. Pleasure to be here.
And I have to say up front, Malaika and I have known each other for a long time now because I'm a member of the board at the Hudson Weber Foundation, and she and I have worked together for 7 years while she's been the CEO.
Indeed.
Figuring out all kinds of interesting things to do and to participate in as
good
members
trouble.
Of the Hudson Weber Foundation family, right?
Indeed,
yes.
Indeed.
And I should also say that I've got Malaika here today because she's leaving us. She is moving on to other things. She's moving to another city and is going to leave her stewardship of the Hudson Weber Foundation. I think that's a really great opportunity to talk about philanthropy, to talk about Hudson Weber. There are a lot of things that have happened in the last 7 years that most people wouldn't know about in terms of the way that we're involved in all kinds of different parts of the city and in some cases the state, but also in the way that philanthropy is changing and changing Detroit, which is different, I think, from what you would see if you visited other cities. So I'm really pleased to have Malaika here. But I also want to brag just a little bit about Malaika before we started the conversation. You know, when we were hiring a new CEO at Hudson Weber, of course, you know, the thought, I think, was that we would mostly be looking at local candidates who would want to lead the institution. Malaika came to us from the Justice Department in Washington, where she worked for Eric Holder, running the community policing program that was really pioneering.
Chief of staff
for the COPS program, which was a really pioneering policy initiative in the Obama administration. So we were really fortunate to get her to come to Detroit and to lead Hudson Weber. So it's great to have you here.
It's been my privilege to come here.
Yeah. So the foundation has changed a lot since you have been in charge. I wonder, I spend a lot of time explaining to people what that change has looked like, but I don't know that I've ever heard you describe the change that you think has happened at Hudson Weber over that time. So I'm curious to hear that.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So, you know, it has changed, although in I think that the strengths of the way that Hudson Weber operates in the world, there's certainly been a through line for, you know, the entire time that the foundation has operated. But I certainly, as you mentioned, I came to the foundation new to philanthropy, not new to grant making, because the COPS office is, in fact, a grant making outfit at the DOJ. And I was naive enough to think it would be similar, and it is not similar at all. It's different in all kinds of ways. But certainly, you know, I'm a lawyer by training. I had done advocacy work and deeply embedded and passionate around civil rights issues and criminal justice issues in particular. So I knew, and even as I interviewed with the trustees for the position, I'd put on the table sort of, if I come here, you know, I do want to move the foundation into this work. I do care about equity, which is a word that we, you know, going through the pandemic and George Floyd, I mean, it's actually been so interesting to have that moment happen as Hudson Weber really dug in 2017 to say, we're going to be really intentional. We're going to think about addressing racial inequity and structural barriers to opportunity. And what should that mean for our investments? I think for most people that have been paying attention, and I don't say that in a pejorative way, but folks that are watching, I think, you know, primarily that has meant moving investments into neighborhoods, And that is really, you know, the benefit for me of coming in. And frankly, let's face it, you know, I'm from New York originally. My husband came here for a position.
Yes.
He
with the DGC
at the time.
Yeah.
And he tells this joke. I can't believe I'm going to repeat it, but I'm going to say it. He said, "What do you think about Detroit?" As he was thinking about his opportunity. And I said, "I don't." That's what I said. But then I came, you know, as he was exploring the opportunity, I came and I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with what was happening here. I fell in love with the energy. And part of the dynamism certainly was what was happening downtown. And certainly before I came, Hudson Weber was deep in downtown, mm-hmm, midtown. Let's mm-hmm. see what's happening. And so I credit the investments that Hudson Weber made in part for me coming. But when I, you know, when I arrived, it felt like, and it's not, you know, there's so much work to be done throughout the city, but that it was a really important moment to think about how, you know, if the frame is Detroiters, our enduring mission is improving the quality of life in Detroit. But as we launched this new strategy, it was, you know, we're looking for a vibrant city of shared prosperity, shared prosperity, a Detroit that works for everybody. A Detroit where Detroiters are in charge of their own future. And that actually is an interesting place for philanthropy, not just in sort of, you know, what we fund, but also how we fund.
Yeah, yeah. So just for the sake of our listeners who may not even be familiar with the foundation at all, and you alluded to this in your answer, you know, the foundation spent a lot of time and money jump-starting a lot of the things that have happened in what we call the 7.2, the 7.2 square miles that include downtown and midtown. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, that was coined by Hudson Weber, I think, that very idea.
Hudson Weber report, yep.
Yeah, and so when you came to be CEO, the way I always describe it is that we moved from 7.2 to a much larger footprint. We started thinking about the rest of the city and this vast kind of diverse and diversely affected part of Detroit, right? I mean, with
yep.
lots of different challenges and problems that you wouldn't see in the 7.2.
Yep. And I'd say absolutely from a straight geography perspective, that is the case. Although I will say, and I think, as you know, Stephen, this has been important for our trustees as well. It's not, you know, we have to be strategic. You know, any foundation,
sure.
The largest foundation, the smallest, is never going to have enough money to drive the change in any particular place. But we have got to have impact. I should say, to have impact, we have got to hold hands with others mm-hmm. in order to see the results of that impact. And so the other amazing thing that we had the opportunity to invest in and be part of was the Strategic Neighborhood Fund,
yep.
which really did a careful job of aggregating resources in place. And so it certainly has been a shifting from that downtown geography, but in a targeted way.
Yes.
And I would say, you know, there is a second piece to this strategy, which is not about geography per se. It's about the policy piece. Because in order, the levers that we need to actually see change at a neighborhood level are going to take these policy levers across a host of domains.
Talk about some of the things that, as you leave Detroit, that you'd point to that we've helped change at Hudson Weber. Things that that you've erected that will stand and continue to make change in places here in Detroit. How is that change in philosophy playing out in a way that people would see it?
So I appreciate that question, and I think, you know, for me, and I mentioned my background as a lawyer and in the criminal justice work, but one of the things that Hudson Weber did and that the trustees were so supportive of was, you know, early on, I think my second year, we had a statewide convening around criminal legal reform.
Yep.
We brought stakeholders from across the state. And one of the important things is that the trustees understood, you know, our focus is Detroit. It has to be. But there is no way for us to sort of advance the ball down the line if we don't lift our sights up to the state. I mean, that's why we're all here in Mackinac. Many of us are Detroit-focused folk. So, you know, out of that convening, as I thought about sort of how can we, what sort of can add up to that impact, I kind of had a couple of observations. One of them is that to move the levers around policy, we've got a, we have an aperture in Detroit. We have national funders, just from a funder's perspective, that are here in Michigan, but not on the ground. And folks from throughout the state that are kind of seeing different pieces of the elephant, but none of us were holding hands together. And so I feel really, you know, it felt very essential for us to come together, and not just the funders, but practitioners doing this work too. And that, of course, the convening was the first part of that. But what that eventually turned into is a funders collaborative called the Michigan Justice Fund.
Yep.
And that is something that I am incredibly proud to be a part of. And to have had a hand in bringing together. And it, you know, at this point, we're up to 14 funders. The way we decided what this funders collaborative would focus on was so participatory. We had 26 organizations across the state co-creating a plan with us. As we thought about where to land this thing, we have this amazing partnership with the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan, where it lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have an incredible director, Ashley Carter,
yep.
who came in over a year ago and is literally, I feel, as I leave, just so encouraged and secure in where that work is going because she's so fantastic.
Yeah. So I want to have you talk also about philanthropy in Detroit and the role that it plays and how different it is from other cities, but also the difference among foundations. Hudson Weber is a local foundation. The money was made as part of the J.L. Hudson Company and stays here in the community as a foundation. It's really different than an institution like Kresge or Kellogg. The roles typically or historically have been very different, but they seem to have overlapped more, I think, in the last 10 or 15 years as some of the national foundations have become much more active in Detroit. So, I guess place Hudson Weber on that spectrum, and then talk about how we think about what the obligations are for a foundation like that versus something like a Kresge or a Kellogg.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things as I came into the foundation that was really moving to me was just the history of the foundation and of the family that created the foundation and through the department store. And I think that, you know, the constant for our foundation has been Detroit. And Detroit has changed enormously over the span of the family's
history. You know, 100 times, you know, right? It's changing all the time.
100 times over. But I think the trustees of the foundation have kept that North Star of Detroit. You know, if Detroit is the impact, how do we orient towards that? And that's why you see changing investments, because Detroit is changing. So that's a piece of it. It has been interesting, as you know, as you mentioned, I came out of the Justice Department, but actually also mostly had partnerships and sort of knew the ecosystem of national funders. And it has been part of the Michigan Justice Fund. Part of the benefit of that has been being able to draw those national foundations into a place where I think they really value having a partner on the ground that sort of has the, you know, is actually in the ecosystem that we're trying to support and fund, where they bring their own particular expertise. Most of our national partners at the table are experts on criminal legal reform, where we've got more generalists of the folks that are here in Detroit. So it's been a really nice yin and yang.
When you think about the things that philanthropy is doing in the city, and again, that's all very different than what it was 10 or 15 years ago as well. I mean, they're much more active than they were. I think a lot of people worry about that because they worry that philanthropy is displacing other institutions that should be doing some of these things or maybe used to do some of those things. I wonder what you make of how that has unfolded here and things that we maybe should be a little wary about.
Yeah, I think the you know, when I came into the city, it was a real learning learning curve to understand what philanthropy had been funding here. You know, even Hudson Weber, for our what was then called our safe community space, was paying for police cars. Literally. Which is unusual.
Which, yeah,
you wouldn't know it if you're in Detroit.
That doesn't happen
every
place.
Right, exactly.
Right?
It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's not supposed to happen.
Exactly.
That's not the way that's supposed to work.
And it's you know, a beautiful thing in that philanthropy certainly stepped in at a moment in the city's history where that step in needed to happen. And, of course, the Grand Bargain is an example of that. But at the end of the day, electeds are accountable to the community. And philanthropy has to walk with a lot of humility. And be very careful, because as much as we hold ourselves accountable, we hold ourselves accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, it's and so I've been, you know, mindful about that. I think the broader conversation around equity and the reckoning that has happened around the George Floyd moment has actually made philanthropy nationally, not just in Detroit, but much more introspective about that, much more thoughtful about how do we decide what we're doing?
Sure.
We're about to release an impact report on our work that includes, you know, we went out and asked people, you know, what do you think of what we've
how
done?
How did this
what,
change your
yes,
world?
What has the impact from your point of view?
Yeah.
We have a report that we funded that we've been talking about today with Detroit Future City, and they similarly, it's grounded in their work. They mm-hmm. use participatory mechanisms to get the feedback around where investments should go.
Yeah. Okay. Malenka Clark, CEO of Hudson Weber. I'm, of course, quite crushed that you're leaving, and I'm going to miss you. And the work that you've done here at the foundation is phenomenal, and the shift to that focus of equity is so important right now in Detroit. So, of course, a big thank you.
Appreciate
you,
Steven.
But, of course, thanks for being here.
I'll still be listening
today.
To your show.
Yes. Oh, of course. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Detroit Today.